read together. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here it is. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to be comfortable. Let us pray. Yahweh, here again is that hour when your son Jesus and Jesus alone shall be lifted up. He said, and if I am lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women or boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The title of our theme for this series is the cost of comfort. The what, everybody? But the title for this message, this teaching, the cost of comfort, part one, is get right or get hurt. Get right or get hurt. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you don't want to get hurt, you got to get right. One of the most mournful handicaps that plagues the Christian community is the disability for most Christians, Elder Jones, to decipher between the covenant of grace and the covenant of comfort. Somebody say the covenant of grace. The covenant of comfort. Our God, my brothers and sisters, is a God of covenant. Everything that God does when he is dealing with humanity is based on covenant. Somebody say covenant. We did a series here not too long ago about covenant. And we said, in covenant, commitment prioritizes or over prioritizes comfort or convenience. When you make a covenant with somebody, your commitment to that covenant should out. Prioritize your convenience. The reason most of us are lacking is because we are more committed to our convenience than to covenant. In a real world, it's called bad credit. Because you did get the money. And you knew you made a covenant to pay your car note, to pay your rent, to pay your electric bill. But you took that money and you went to Walmart. You went to Macy's. You went to JCPenney's. You went to the club. Hello. You went to the movies. You went out to dinner. You went to McDonald's, Burger King, and you forgot that you have made a covenant with a car dealer, with the mortgage company, with the electric company, with covenants or documents that you sign that if you let me have this, I'm going to give you this. It's always a contract between two people. You know why they cut that electric off? You didn't keep your covenant. And I've shared in a setting like this before that if we would stop rushing after convenience, we will have more because God has blessed us with more than we know. But instead of going to, and when I got to Louisiana, I learned this. Instead of going to make groceries, you know, where you can cook for at least a week, you spend $9.99 on a double Whopper. And if you spend $9.99 on a double Whopper for 1 week, I wish somebody was listening to me. You spend more than you could have gotten if you had gone and made some groceries. I'm trying to help somebody here. But you want what is convenient. And when you are chasing after convenience, you lose your sense of covenant. You want to go out to dinner. My family, the Uyghur family, and the people must have just gotten tired of us. They closed all the stores. Because Ryan was our place. All you can eat for $8.99. See, because we understood covenant. That bills had to be paid and things. And yes, God wants us to go out and eat, but he doesn't want us to go out to them, you know, high dollar restaurants, you know, when you can't afford it. Now, if you can afford it, it's fine. But when you are robbing yourself to be convenient, then you break covenant. Whenever you break covenant, life gets uncomfortable. There are several covenants that God instituted with man. And two of those covenants work interchangeably and in tandem with each other, but we get them confused. To our detriment. The first covenant that God made is the covenant of life and of dominion. Everybody say life and dominion. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you will find the covenant of life and dominion. There are two different covenants. But they work together, they work in tandem, they work interchangeably, they work consecutively, and so it confuses most people, and they are thinking it is one covenant. The covenant of life, here it is. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26a. That's the covenant of life. Somebody say the covenant of life. Here comes Genesis chapter 1, verse 26b and c, the covenant of dominion, that they may have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, cattle, and over everything that God has made. Somebody say covenant of dominion. Now, what you will realize about covenants is that covenants are maintained by laws. Whenever you do a contract, there is a law in that contract. that is intended to help that contract be effective. I was talking to our minister of music about someone that I noticed is breaking covenant. And I said, I said, you know, let the person know there are laws, there are rules that govern this covenant. And if this person keep breaking this rule, we will have to establish covenant with somebody else. This is nothing new. This is just how life works. You ever been evicted? That's because you broke covenant. You didn't follow the rules that govern that covenant. The covenant of life and dominion is governed by this rule. The rule of sin and death. Genesis 1:26. Covenant of law, of life and dominion. And that covenant is governed by the law of sin and death. And that law of sin and death is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 3. Genesis chapter 3. And verse number 3, the law of sin and death. If you eat of this fruit, you see the law? You will surely die. God made a covenant with mankind. I made you to live forever. The covenant of life. And I made you to have dominion. Now watch this. He didn't say to own. See, we get that confused. Managing something doesn't mean you own it. And the reason a lot of us are stressed, Elder Landry, is because we act like owners. Let me give you an example. If I was leasing a car, and that car gets broken down on the highway, do you think I'll stress? You know what I do? I pick up the phone and call the owner and say, listen, this here car just broke down, and you need to send me a replacement car or send somebody to get it fixed. Because the responsibility of maintaining is on the owner. I wish somebody was listening to me. But when you start acting like you own it, then you stress over the maintenance. See, the last time your child started acting crazy, if you had realized that you are just a manager, but God owns that child, you won't be stressed. All you'll do is get on your knees, pick up the phone, and say, this here child that you told me to manage. See, the problem with us is we get mixed up what we are managing with what we own. And a lot of us walk around here acting like we own stuff. Read scripture. There is nowhere in scripture where God said, I'm going to give you something to own. He said, I'm going to give you dominion over it. Hey, come here, Donald Trump. Do you know why Donald didn't worry about paying taxes? And he said, we were crazy for paying it, and y'all still voted for him? Because he understood the difference between ownership and dominion. Everything that Donald owns is not really owned by Donald. It's owned by Trump Corporation. So when Donald gets ready to do taxes, He does it as Donald Trump, DBA, Trump Corporation. And because he's a good manager, Sister Adams, he enjoys the privileges of management. He lives in the penthouse that is owned by Trump Corporation. He flies the jet that is owned by Trump Corporation. He eats in the best restaurants because Trump Corporation pays the bill. You and me, we're here struggling to pay for our rent, feed ourselves, because we want to own everything. And God is saying, stop trying to own stuff you don't have strength to handle. That's why when Jesus said, when you pray, say, give us this day. Why are you asking for 2 months' food? You don't even have a place to store it. Is anybody feeling me up here? You just worry about today, because the God who fed you today will feed you tomorrow, will feed you next week, will feed you next month. Stop stressing over next month. See, God made us to be managers. That's why I speak prophetically when I say 2017, this church will be one of the greatest church in town. You're looking at me cross-eyed, and you're thinking, how we are going to do it? I ain't worrying about doing it, because this church don't belong to me. It belongs to him. And the God that I have, he is so bad, they don't count his cattle by heads. They count them by hells. And as I say, he owns six heads of cattle. He said he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Don't start counting it by the head of cattle. You're going to go crazy. It's 2 minutes. Just count the hill. Hill number one, hill number two. I wish somebody was listening to me. And this is the God who's saying to me and you, I'm trusting you with the ministry at 4555 Fairfields Avenue. And watch this, watch this, watch this. If you seek first kingdom business, all the things that you need to be a successful kingdom manager, am I reading scripture here? Will be added to you. See, we got to stop reading Bible from this little mythical storybook. The Bible is a practical living manual. So God gives us the covenant of life and the covenant of authority, or a covenant of dominion, or supervisory, and that covenant is governed by the law of life, or sin, excuse me, and death. If you break this covenant, you will die. Now, because we sinned and broke the covenant, God, oh, bless his name, he loves us so much, he introduced a new covenant. And that's the covenant of grace. Everybody say the covenant of grace. You know where that covenant is found? It's found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he, watch this. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed will have everlasting life. In other words, in this covenant, he's doing all of the giving. You are doing all of the receiving. And the only law that governs this covenant is the law of the Spirit of life. Turn with me to Romans. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse number 1 through 4. All right, now you got to mark it down because we time is not in our favor and I got to go. So I'm going to read it. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. Okay. Now, here's what Paul is saying. Okay, my eyes playing trick on me. Yeah, read it for me, elder. Yeah, verse 1 through 4. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody said the law of life. That law maintains the covenant of grace or the covenant of salvation. Since I've been here, you keep hearing me say, you're not saved by your works. Don't be walking around here. You will stress yourself to death if you're walking around here thinking you are saved by what you do. You are not saved by anything you do. You are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. It is a gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. Lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 8. Romans 5. For God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ. You don't have to do anything to be saved except to accept the gift of salvation. Because God gave you a law that you didn't keep. And the consequence of that law is Romans 6:23. The law of sin and death. The wages of sin is what? No argument. Not the wages of sin is trying to do better. The wages of sin is death, period. But because of God's love, because of his mercy, because of his grace, he's decided I cannot do away with the covenant of life, and I cannot do away with the law of sin and death. But this is what I'll do. I will make the death provision by my own life. In other words, let me watch this. And that's why we got to be careful. Sin will never go unpunished. No sin. That's why we got to be careful how we live. No sin will ever go unpunished. When you sin, there is a covenant law that God has established that he cannot do away with. So what God says, since sin has to be punished, and mankind needs to take that punishment, because of my love for them. Watch this. God never changes his covenants. He will either institute a new covenant. You know, I like God. God's like the landlord. He's not going to change the rent. But he'll help me preach my little sermon. He said, you can pay this month, but you got to pay. So tell me how much you can pay. I said, well, I can pay 75%. He said, I tell you what. Now pay me the rent. I wish somebody was listening to me. God institutes a new covenant. He said they can pay for death because if they do, they are done. They are obliterated. They are annihilated. They are expired. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to establish a new covenant. And in this covenant, I will pay for death by my own dying. But here's a law, because every covenant has a law. The only law for that governs the covenant of salvation or grace is believe. Everybody say believe. Faith. Come here, Paul or Peter. What must I do to be saved? Jill asks in Acts chapter 6. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm walking around here. Well, you got to stop the way you dress. You know, you got to change the way you eat. What Bible are you reading? No, I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm trying to help us here. Because a lot of us are walking around here on pins and needles when we should be. You know why I shout so much up there, waving my hand, doing all that crazy stuff? Because I should have been dead. No, I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. I should have been dead eternally. But Jesus died so that I can have life and have it more abundantly. It excites me when I think about what he's done for me. I don't care what you think about me. Well, the pastor up there, you know, I heard people say, well, they make so much noise in there, they sound like the other people. If anybody should be making more noise than anybody, okay, let me go back to. And the reason most of our young people are not here, and even some of our adults are not here, is because we keep lying to them and telling them they can do something to be saved. And they try and try, and after a while they get frustrated and they say, it can work. Somebody's lying to me, because if this stuff could work, I would have done it a long time ago. I've been trying. Is that two people in here who can testify? I've been trying to do this. And it never works if I'm trying to do it. The only thing I can do, Sister Wilson, is throw my hand up and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh God, whether shall I go? Until you and I do that and really believe it, we're going to be playing that games, that game we used to play, Elder Deacon Scott, when I was young. You know, it's called In the River. On the bank, in the river, and you got a lot of, I call them schizophrenic Christians. I'm saved today. Oh, I'm not saved. I'm saved. Oh, no, I'm not saved. You know, and they're just, you know, and people are looking at them, and they say, come go to church with me, and say, you're crazy. I ain't coming to that church with you. You don't even know what you believe. The law of grace, the law of salvation, Paul says, or the covenant, excuse me, of salvation, Paul said, God has established with mankind. And all you and I have to do is say, God, I want it. Thank you. And receive it. There's nothing you can do to earn. But here's where we get confused. We confuse the covenant of salvation, the covenant of grace, with the covenant of rulership, of comfort, excuse me. The covenant of comfortability. Everybody say comfortability. Those two covenants, like I told you earlier, are in tandem. They work like a chain linked together, but they are two different covenants. And when mankind sinned, we violated those two covenants. Now, God made a universal concession and provision for the covenant of life and death, for the covenant of life that is maintained by the law of sin and death. But God did not make a universal concession for the covenant of comfort. Okay, let's go to Genesis. Let me show you something. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. When you get there, let me know you're there, because we're going to read. Okay. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says what? Okay, did you hear that? God says, I'm going to put enmity. That's the first time God introduced the covenant of salvation, a covenant of grace. He says to the serpent, I'm going to make the man hate you, or the woman hate you. And I'm going to make you hate them. And I'm going to allow her seed to crush your head, destroy you eternally. But in the crushing process, you will hurt him, bruises him. That's the covenant of grace. And that covenant is the covenant that counteracted the law of sin and death. Now, the covenant of dominion, God did not change that covenant, because he doesn't change covenants. But this is what he did. He allowed for the punishment of that covenant. He said, from this day forward. Now, let me establish this. Let me make this clear. How many of you know that work did not start with sin? Before sin came in the world, mankind was working. God created us to manage, and whenever you are managing something, you work at it. So work is not sin, or work is not the consequence of sin. Here is the consequence of sin for that is the result of breaching the covenant of dominion: sweat and tears. Let's go back to Genesis. It's right there. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And let's go to verse number 14. Oh, no, verse 17. Start with verse 17. Genesis 3:17. All right. Are you ready? And unto Adam he said, what? Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. What? Curse is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles it shall what? Bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Somebody says sweat and tears. Here's what God did, Elder Prochet. God said, since you broke the covenant of dominionship, and because I don't change covenant, I'm going to put in a clause for the earth to rebel against you. Have you ever had authority over somebody that won't listen to what you tell them to do? Have you ever been a supervisor? Let me bring it from kids. I got a grandson right now, 2 years old. I'm about to give him an eviction notice. That boy be stressing me out. You know, I give him a play named Moogie. You know he's black, huh? Moogie. I said, Moogie, leave it. That's the meantime. He said, move. That's when he's running to it. Sit. That's when he's, you know, it's like, what are you doing? God said, I'm going to say to the earth, Adam, God had given us so much power. We could say to an orange tree, give me a bushel of oranges right now, and the tree will start to obey. And God said, tree, let me let him taste a little bit of his own medicine. Let me let him feel what it tastes like when somebody that is over you tells you to do something and you don't do it. He said, when he asks you for orange, give him some thorns. When he plants a wheat, give him some thistles. Let him see what it feels like to have somebody rebelling against you. Something that you were supposed to control rebelling against you. That is the law of dominion. God said, whenever you go out there, oh, you were, and here's what it is, folks, because I want you to get this straight. Because God didn't remove the law of dominion, we can still get riches. We can get wealth. And you don't have to be a Christian to get wealth. But this is what you're going to have to do, Elder Lawrence. You're going to have to lie. You're going to have to steal. You're going to have to cheat. You're going to have to run over people. You're going to have to murder. You're going to have to connive. You're going to, because mankind doesn't like rebellion. We can't afford rebellion. And so we will find a way around rebellion so that we can still have dominion, because God didn't take away their thirst for dominion. So the people that are not under the covenant that God has given, which is the covenant of election. Everybody said the covenant of election. Every human being on this earth is privy to the covenant of grace. John 3:16. For whosoever, doesn't matter whether you're Chinese, Korean, African, American, whether you're rich, poor, educated, non-educated, whatever. Whosoever. The covenant of grace is for whosoever. Everybody has a privilege and a right to that covenant. The only thing that denies you that covenant is your refusal to believe. Jesus said, if you believe, you've already made it in. And we try to make it hard for people. Believe but. Believe in. Believe with. No. If you believe. But the covenant of election, or the covenant of selective favor, that's what I like to call it, is not a covenant that's given to everybody. It's a covenant that's given only to those whom God chooses to give it. All right, you think I'm making this up? Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, the covenant of election. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, 2, let's read that. And the Lord what? Stop right there. Everybody said the covenant of election. This man's name is Abram. He is an evil man. His family, see, you don't understand the story of Abram, and everybody think, no. Abram's family were idol worshipers. They will offer their children as sacrifices on wood. You see how loving God is? And in the midst of that debauchery, God just picks Abram. Now, you and I'll be looking like, well, God, you know, he was on crack. He had three kids out of wedlock. And, you know, God said, who cares? This is my world. This is my universe. I can choose who I want to be favor to and who I don't want to have favor. I'm so glad that there is a covenant of election where God can say, we God, with all that stuff you've done, I'm going to choose you and make you the pastor of the Berean church, and ain't nothing they can do about it. The covenant of election. That covenant changes and offsets the covenant of sweat and tears. And everybody is not privy to that covenant. That's why the devil didn't want me to find that text. It's right there in my head. I'm trying to think, it just won't come. But the devil is alive. We're going to step on him today and free somebody up in here. The covenant of election. God says to Abram, your people are evil. Your people are wicked. Your people are they've done all kinds of ugly things. But I am looking for somebody to bless just because I'm a blesser. He says, so this. Now watch this. All covenant has laws that make the covenant effective. He says, get up out of your father's house. In other words, Abram, you're not better than anybody in your family, but I've chosen to bless you. But to get that blessing, you got to stop calling Pookie and them. I'm sorry, I should have said Larry. Yeah, what did it say? Pookie them, huh? Yeah. See, you got, in other words, when God selects you, there's some things you got to do. Somebody said, the way I used to walk, I don't walk like that no more. The way I used to talk, I don't talk like that no more. The people I used to hang out with, I don't hang out with them no more. And somebody looking at you say, hey, man, you want to get a drug? Nah, I don't do that no more. You didn't go to rehab or nothing like that. We were just doing that last night. What's going on with you, boy? You wanted a little sip of it? No, I can't do that no more. Sister come with the skirt right up here and said, baby, I want to give you something that's so funny you're going to laugh till you die. He said, no, I don't want that no more. And everybody's looking at you and saying, what's wrong with you? And all you can say, I can't understand it, but God just chose me. Abram is selected from the midst of his people. And all he has to do, Deacon Lawrence, is obey and begin to move, even though he doesn't understand and know where God's taking him. That's why the covenant of selection to be blessed must also be believed be accepted by faith. You got to take a chance on God. Yeah, I'm telling you some things that we're going to do here and you don't even know it. Somebody told me, well, Pastor, we ain't got the money. I didn't ask you. It's just God's business. We never done that before. I know, but this is God's business. Well, people gonna think we're that's right. Because see, one thing that I realized, Sister Alderman, when you start following God after he selects you, people gonna look at you like, that woman crazy. She's moving to Wildwood. Can you believe that? 55 years old. Why didn't she do it when she was 28? Can you believe? Child, I know she's come right back here in 2 months. Talk about she can't make. And what they don't know is God don't select you. And you just walk. And when you start walking, stuff start happening. And when you show up, people looking at you like, child, what happened to you? The selection. See, you can brag about it because it's the election of God on your life. God says to Abraham, there is a covenant of sweat and tears that I cannot change, but I can choose you and make a new covenant with you. What is the covenant, God? The covenant of blessing. The covenant of the, God is so bad, he said, I'm going to bless you so much, you're going to get some haters, but when they hit on you, I'm going to hit on them. In other words, not will I bless you, but I'll protect you. I'll provide for you, and I'll protect you. And the people that don't like it and start acting up, I'm going to just step between you and them and say, if you got a problem with him, talk to me. I can't get the help of me. So God elects Abram and then changes his name. Watch this. Watch this. That's what the election does. This boy's mama named him Abram. God pulls him out and say, your name is no more Abram. Abraham. The nerve. Man, my mama called me that name. It's on my birth certificate. That's what everybody know me by. But you ain't that anymore. Because I've changed your name. I wish there were three people in here that would say, God, please change my name. Because when God selects you, he changed your name. When people see you coming, they say, there's Pookie coming. But you ain't acting like Pookie. You acting like a millionaire. And they start calling you by a name that was not the name that people knew you to be like. Is that two people up in here that can get excited about the fact that when God calls me, he's not only going to hook me up, but he's going to change my walk, my stride. People looking at you say, he looked like T-Rod. No, that's Pastor Weegar, child. You haven't heard. Change his name. So now, here is the strange thing about the covenant of election. The covenant of election, the law that governs it is the law of faith and obedience. And that faith and obedience, are you ready for this? Is manifested in tithes and offering. All right. Yeah, the amen is going to get a little. And silent now. Decibels are getting lower. The blessings of God hinged on the law of tithes and offering. When God chooses you to bless you, the way he wants you to respond to that blessing is through tithes and offering. Now, let's go to Genesis 14. And we're going to read now where Abraham began to tithe. He is the first human being on earth to tithe. Genesis chapter 14. Look at verse 18 through 20. Okay, are you there? Let's read together. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the what? And he blessed him, that is Abraham, and said, blessed be what? Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the what? The Most High God, which what? Had delivered thine enemy, oh, watch this, into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Abram is chosen by God. He is living in this land, and his nephew Lot, whom he takes with him. Lot is greedy and selfish. And Abram is so bad because when God selects you, you don't worry about what people are taking from you. Abram says to Lot, his nephew, listen, our cattle are getting too much and the people are fighting amongst themselves, our workers. So look out here and choose a land. You would have thought Lot would have said, well, uncle, you're the older. You're the one who brought me here. You choose, and what's left over, I'll take. No, no, no. He said, well, I'll take the fertile land out there around where Sodom and Gomorrah is. And he takes all of that. Greed, when he gets there, there's a war that comes. They're whipping his tail, and guess who he calls? Please tell Uncle Abram. And see, when God blesses you like that, even the people that try to take advantage of you, when they come back to kneel at your feet for help, you still help them. I wish two people were listening to me here. So Abram leaves and go and fights this war, Brother Sterling, and wins the war, takes back everything that they took from Lot and his family. And when he is coming back, that's when he meets Melchizedek, the priest. And the priest blesses him. You need to read Genesis 14 when you go home. And when the priest blesses him, watch this, watch this. I told you the war that Abram won was not his war. It was the war of his nephew. Abram didn't lose anything. The things he got back were the things that his nephew lost. But guess who paid tithe? Because Abram understands the law that governs the covenant of selection. You and I would have said, well, you know, that income tax, it was Elder Landry who got the income tax. He just asked me to go help him so that he can put it in my bank and cash it. And God said, fool, I bless you with a bank so somebody can ask you to cash that money in it. Pay tithe. All right, you're not feeling me. This illustration is not working. Here's what I'm saying. Most of us miss our blessings because we are sitting there counting what God has given us before we can tithe. Well, I got $20 last week. I got $40 this week. It's $60. What was 10% again? $6. Okay, $6. And God is saying, did I wake you up this morning? Do you know that when you were leaving that exit, that tractor trailer was going to run you over, but somehow I stopped it? Do you understand when the flood, you know, you're counting money. Abram is counting blessings. And he tithe because he understands that tithing and giving God a thank you offering is the law that holds the covenant of selection. So if you think, well, Berean just trying to make me give them all my money. No, Berean trying to get you blessed. Watch this. Why do you think all of these churches that talk about everything in the Old Testament is the Mosaic Law? It's the Old Testament. They're the ones that's preaching tithing. Man, them brothers preach tithing better than we do. Well, we're not Israel of old. Then why are you telling your members to tithe? Do you know there is nothing in the New Testament about tithing? Okay, I give you a challenge. If you find a scripture in the New Testament that talk about tithing, I will drink all of the Mississippi River. And I will belch it in Mexico. So all these people that are talking about tithing, where are they getting it from? Well, the Sabbath is the Old Testament. This is Old Testament. Well, where you get tithing from? Because they understand that there's something powerful about tithing. That the blessings that God gives you is multiplied when you begin to give God a tithe and some offering. Some of us cannot afford not to tithe. You're sitting in there counting little beans, talking about I don't get for you can afford not to tithe. If anybody should be rushing here with their tithe and their offering, it should be some of us. With the hell that we're going through, and we still got our sanity, we still got our right mind, we still got a roof over our head. If anybody should be tithing, and you think you're doing something to hurt the church, you're hurting yourself. Matter of fact, God said, when you refuse, well, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let me go. So now here we are. Yeah, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. We now come to this our topic today. Get right or get hurt. How much time do I have? Is it 1 o'clock yet? Is it after one? Okay, I'll tell you. 1:10, 1:18. Here's what we're gonna do. Because this is not a preaching. You know, I don't have to end with a, and the laws and all of that. I want you to get this. Now, you know I like to preach. And I did preaching as a specialty in seminary. So and they tell us, begin with a good introduction and end with a shout. So everything between is the word, the solid word. But you can't end no preaching until you get back to Calvary. And Jesus woke me up this morning. You know, Adventists be sitting there, well, you know, he's trying to be Baptist. Yeah, call me whatever you want to call me. God is too good to me. But I'm going to end here. I'm going to end here because our goal is to get out of here 1 o'clock. I'm so glad I asked. I'm going to end here. Next week, when did I say everybody? Next week, we're going to begin where we stop. You don't want to miss this. Let me tell you, I'm pleading. I know you got plans. You got stuff to do. You don't want to miss the next 3 weeks. There are some things that God has placed in my spirit that I'm going to deposit in your spirit that will change your life forever. It will help you to begin to live comfortably again. Who believed the word of God today? Let's stand. Let's stand. God, I bless you. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your word, God. Your word is so powerful. Oh, God, I can go on for another 2 hours. But, God, I pray that you will accept what we've shared here, what you've deposited in me and the overflowed, God, that I'm sharing with your people. And bring us back next week when we'll get more of this. Get right or get hurt. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, put your hand.